Okay, so we're continuing to try to finish the small piece that we started last week. What's on the tefillah of the tzaddikim, tefillatan shel tzaddikim, the tefillah of the tzaddikim. So what we saw that the first paragraph said like this, that the tzaddikim don't get excited by the simple meaning of the tefillah. Because to them, these are things that are so simple that they don't really need, in that sense, the messages of the Achdus Hashem and the Reimus Hashem. These are such simple principles that they've come to understand with their own das, and they view it as like so simple. They're like, of course. Well, what are you telling me? What's the chiddush here? So the seder of the avoda of the tzaddikim is something else. It's something very, very profound, which through their tefillah they raise up the nitzotzes kadoshim. They raise up, we spoke about, the holy sparks, and they attach those holy sparks to kedusha in that way, bringing about the tikkun, process of rectification. And that, of course, is a very, very deep type of tefillah, which generally, like you said, focuses around the Shemus HaKodesh that are in the tefillah, which is primarily was found in the Siddurim of the Mekubalim, specifically today. Generally speaking, those who are Mechaven in the Kavanas Darizal use the Siddurei HaRashash, which goes in, has a very intricate way of presenting this whole type of avoda, and that's the way the tzaddikim daven. That's what they're doing in their davening, which is beyond the simple meaning of the tefillah. And I mentioned that the Nefesh HaChaim, when he speaks about tefillah in Shaar Beis, he says that this tefillah, was established by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, and amongst them were many Nevi'im, Nebali Ruach HaKodesh, and he says this, that there's an enormous, almost never-ending, maybe I can, might even use such a lashon, like an infinite amount of secrets that are placed in the words of the tefillah. And the Arizal was revealed, I would say revealed some of them. We whatever we have from the Arizal, Ki Yadua, as is known, was given over in a year and 10 months to Reb Chaim Vital, and that's obviously an extraordinarily short period of time for everything that we have. There's a famous story, which I think I've mentioned in the past, that the Arizal was seen sleeping and his mouth was moving. And they asked him after he woke up, what was going on? What was, what was he speaking? What was he doing? And he said that if he would try to reveal the secrets that he was given over in his sleep, in that particular sleep, it would take him, I think, 80 years of nonstop speaking to be able to give that over. So, obviously, whatever we have from him is a relatively small amount of what he himself knew, and perhaps he himself maybe was masig also a limited amount relative to the infinite amount of sadis which Kadosh Baruch Hu runs this world with and put into the tefillah. Now, I want to make clear something. I imagine, I'm saying a chiddush maybe of my own, but I imagine that the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah as well were not necessarily conscious of all these, tremendous secrets of every, similar to what the Tumim writes. The Tumim in Chai Shemishpat writes that you can say pshat in the words of the Rambam and in the words of the Shulchan Aruch, what they themselves didn't intend, and it's correct pshat. It's legitimate. You have the right to do that, because the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch wrote their svarim with Ruach HaKodesh, And therefore, the words that came out of their pen onto the page of the Shulchan Aruch, of the Rambam, those words have the din of Torah in of their own right. The words themselves are holy and can be darshaned, can be, you know, delved into and worked upon, and you can come up with new chidushim and new understandings within those words, even if the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch did not intend that meaning, and it will be correct, and it's a legitimate thing. This is what the Tumim writes. I actually saw the same yesod as in the Groz Talmud Muvok, one of his Talmud Muvokim, Rabbi Nachum Mendel Mishkalov, on his right at the beginning of his beer on Mishnas Chasidim, he writes the same yesod, that there's such a thing where, you know, tzaddikim or talmidei chachamim will give over Torah, and it becomes mamish holy on its own right. It has a din of Torah. It's like a chepzah shel Torah, which now you can delve into and perhaps open up things and understand things that they themselves didn't understand in their words. And so I think that the same thing is almost definitely can be said about the tefillah. That when the Nefesh HaChaim says the Anshei Knesset Gedoila, establish these words with prophecy, with nevuah, I think that what it means is that they were given the nevuah, they were given Ruach HaKodesh to specifically use the words that that we use in davening. And because they encompass within them endless amount of secrets, but not necessarily that they were aware of all those secrets, not necessarily that they knew all those secrets, it's just the nevuah was that they, you know, produced these words. I'm sure that some of them they realized, but you know, to say that they knew everything, it's very hard to say such a thing, that they because again, we're talking about something which is close to infinite, if not infinite. It's like never ending, which is like, we know that because the Torah itself is, like the Pasuk says, right, is wider than the sea and bigger than the land. It's in other words, Pasuk is trying to describe something that doesn't really, it's limitless. It could go on and on and on. And that's, of course, extending, and it's an extension of Hashem's infinite, right? If we say, Kud Shebrich Yisrof Reis Achadu, right, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. So there's a certain aspect of infinite in the Torah, and a certain aspect of infinite in the Jewish people. That's why Netzach Yisrael Yishakar, there's like an everlastingness to the Jewish people, which is a part, an extension, I think, of the Nitzchius of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the same thing with the Torah, and therefore, no human being really would be able to, you know, in a conscious way, know every single detail. What would be the case is like the Rambam says when he describes in his Perusha Mishnayos, he says this all the time, and the Ramchal says this also in his Sfarim, that if you know the Klalim, if you know the general rules, all the Pratim are included, are incorporated inside of that Klal. And what that means is that you have the whole klal. It doesn't mean that you're aware of all the pratim that are withheld in that klal. But when you're faced with a situation, when you're faced with a question, because you have on a certain prat, because you have the klal hadavar, you'll be able to flesh out that prat. You'll be able to access that prat. You'll be able to then, yes, bring it into your consciousness. So I think that that's really the same story as with the tefillah. You know, they had the klolim, if you want to say, of the oimik of the tefillah, but certainly there, it makes a lot of sense to say that there's an enormous and never-ending amount of secrets that can really be discovered. And that's why we find, by the way, you know, different tzaddikim continue to reveal new permutations and new sodas in the tefillah throughout the Doris, right? You have, after the Arizal, there were great mekubalim that continued to reveal things that were not necessarily revealed by the Doris before, which is the same way the Torah itself works, right? Kol Yosef, right? The voice of Har Sinai, Loy Pasak, one of the Perushim, is right, that didn't finish, meaning that as the generations go on, there are more and more Chidushi Torah to be discovered and to be revealed that were not revealed in the world yet. In any case, so that's all. But the bottom line is that this is the way the tzaddikim's tefillah works, is that it's not just on the pasha level, but they're working way beyond that. Through their tefillah, they are being mala many nitzotzes kedoshim, bringing them to a process of tikkun. Now let's start. That's just a recap on last week with some more additions. Vizoya siba. Next paragraph, the second paragraph in this piece. Vizoya siba sheyeshnam tzadikim. This is the reason that there are tzadikim. Shelefamim emitpalim bitpa'alut gedola, ulefamim emitpalim bepashtut yitera. Because of this, there are tzadikim that sometimes daven with great excitement, and sometimes they daven with excessive simplicity. Well, we'll find sometimes in the same tzaddik two different, very, very different styles of davening. Sometimes he's, looks like a fire, perhaps. And sometimes there seems to be, all that excitement and all that whatever it is. It's just very, very simple type of a davening. I mean, I'm describing it as something that we would observe, but it might not be something observable. It could be just that the tzaddik himself knows, right? Sometimes he davens with this hitpa'alut, which is taking into account all these secrets and bringing the nitzaitis to their place and their source and reattaching them to the kedusha and all this kind of deep davening. And then in other times, and you might not necessarily see it on him that anything's going on, and in other times he knows that he's davening just the simple meaning of the tefillah. There's a mistake sometimes that people make. I'm just parenthetically put this in. That if somebody looks normal, if somebody looks calm and collected, so there's no fire burning inside of him. I'm referring to tzaddikim as well. Very often there are tzaddikim that on the outside you can't see the fire that's burning in them. You don't realize what their inner world is about. And on the outside they look very, very calm, very simple, very collected. I would say actually my Rebbe, Reb Sroya Devlitsky Zatzal, is probably a good example of that. On the outside, he had a short beard, short jacket, looked very regular, davened, except for maybe El, his Kriya Shema was certainly a fiery Kriya Shema, but I'm saying the Pasuk Shema and Baruch Shem. But in general, he looked very, very standard or like a regular old man, and Zell, you wouldn't necessarily, but you see in his Sfarim that that's where he kind of, let himself be seen somewhat. He was on fire, and he was always moving up and up, and then his inner world was, there was a lot going on. There was a tremendous amount going on. As the Ramchal is a great example. The Ramchal, there's a sefer of the letters by the Ramchal and to the Ramchal, and some of them, if I'm not mistaken, are about the Ramchal to others, yes. And then one of those letters, a great Talmud Chacham of that generation, said that the Ramchal was involved, of course, in a very big machlekes. There were people that had very big opposition to him, and in one of these letters, this very chashuv Talmud Chacham writes to the Ramchal's Rebbe, "Listen, I received testimony from somebody who learned in Koilel together with the Ramchal. He learned in the Koilel with the Ramchal, and the Ramchal at the time of this thing seems to have been probably about like 20 or something like that, maybe a little 21, 29, very young." And he writes, and it's true, he's a very big genius, he knows his stuff, but Reach Chasidus Ein Bo. There's no smell of Chasidus about him. In other words, there's no godless there. There's no, there's no special thing going. There's no piety over there. He's just a very, very brilliant individual. Now, mind you, at the time that Edus was given, I made the calculation, if I'm not mistaken, he had already had Gilui Elio Hanavi. He had already had the revelation of Elio Hanavi, the Ramchal, by the time that this person is like speaking about the Ramchal. Now, obviously, to get Gilui Elyonot at such a young age. He was in his early 20s. He probably was a very big person as a teenager as well and as a kid. And certainly he didn't get there without a ladder of chassidus from from childhood. But this guy didn't observe the chassidus on the Ramchal. So to me, that basically says that the Ramchal looked like a normal person, and his inner world was exactly that, was kept inwards. As a matter of fact, this stems with, the Ramchal writes about the difference between him and the Arizal. He writes that the Arizal reached his hasagas, he reached his greatness in Torah and Kedusha and all these things. He reached it through the many fastings that he did, and the types of things that he afflicted himself in certain from physicality, separating from physicality, sigufim taniyos and sigufim. That was how the Arizal was zeicha to the tremendous ruach hakodesh that he got. And the Ramchal says about himself, I didn't do that. What I got, what I've been zeicha to, I got through, just learning and davening. I don't remember exactly. Oh, yichudim, he said, by doing yichudim. At some point he says that every quarter of an hour or so, I started to do yichud, which is a meditation with the Shemus HaKodesh that we just spoke about, actually. He would do meditations, and that connected. Because that, I think that's what he writes, because that he was zeicha to Ruach HaKodesh and to Giluyim of Eliyahu HaNavi and other Malachim, whatever. And so the Ramchal explains that it's not just Stam. There's a reason for this difference. He says that because the Arizal was on such a great level, he was able to do external actions to reach to be zeicha to what he was zeicha. But because I'm not on as a high level as the Arizal, if I take on external things such as fasting, things that maybe can be observed, but even not necessarily observed by other human beings, but things that are nevertheless are externally exhibited and experienced. If I do that, the chitzoinim will start up with me. I am in danger of getting the chitzoinim, which is the outer forces, meaning the evil forces, upset, and they will start to mess me up. I will be attacked by them. But by keeping his avoda internal, the chitzoinim don't have access to the internal aspects of a person. It's a fascinating Ramchal. So the Ramchal was actually bedafka. He stuck to an internal avoda to keep himself safe, because he knew he's not on that level to do things externally, because the external aspect of a person is privy to attack, is prone to attack by the external forces, the evil forces. So that would actually explain why Reach HaChassidus Ein Bo, nobody noticed anything on the Ramchal different, because he just looked like a regular person. He didn't do anything strange. He wasn't fasting. He was eating like other people. He was having regular meals. That would explain it. Does anybody have a question? Moshe, you look like you might have something going on there. No? Okay. All right. So that's what he's saying now, that there are tzaddikim that sometimes daven with the simple, sometimes with the tremendous level of birur anitzaitzis and elevating the anitzaitzis, and sometimes they just daven in with a simplicity. Why? Because it's dependent on that level or that value, that worth of the intention of the kavana of the shemos, of meditating on the names. At a time where they don't find themselves able to have proper kavana, say their tefilosam ubepashtus gedolah ubevados gemura ve'ein tzorech b'shum mitpa'alut. Then the order of their tefila is just with a tremendous simplicity, a complete certainty, and there is no need for that excitement. There's no need for that more emotionally involved tefillah, where they're meditating on the shemas and bringing about the tikkun that way. Now, what he means is like this: to do the tefillah, that higher tefillah that he described with the tzaddikim, you need a certain yishuv hadas. You need a certain, tranquility, a certain peace of mind. And there are times where a person just doesn't have them. Even great tzaddikim just don't have that tremendous the peace of mind to do that kind of a tefillah. So at times where they don't have that, they can't do it. So then they revert back to this more simple, the simple kind of davening where they're just attaching themselves to Hashem on a simple level, without the whole hispilus of tikkun hashemus, etc. The yeshnam zmanim, that's what he says over here. There are times shavadayut hazot hayotzet min alev b'li shum pikpuk, that this certainty that there is in their davening, because remember, these things are, when they daven, it's not like they're like, oh, I didn't think about that. Wow, Hashem is like, you have an insight from the davening, like Hashem is, the oneness of Hashem is exhibited in the world in this way and that way, the greatness of the mountains, and, you know, like you might, I think us regular people, sometimes you just see like a simple insight into the davening, and you're like, oh, that's a geschmack, you know, you have, by them, it's very, very simple, very, very certain, they don't even have doubts about this, and they're not getting excited about that, but it's with this dafka, with this certainty that comes from their heart, because there's such a conviction there in their davening, they're so certain about, right? Bli shum pikpuk, without any doubt. O ki'ilu mesaper ma'ase muvan v'yadu lekol, and it's as if they're like telling over a story which is understood and known by everyone. She'en lav shum itnagdut, which has like no opposition whatsoever. They're not trying to convince. They're not trying to explain. They're just saying like a fact. It's like a matter of fact. Just that's how clear it is. Ze atzmo hu atikun anitzrach. There are times where dafka, that is the tikkun that is necessary. That is the tikkun that is necessary. Now, I had a little bit of question understanding this paragraph, because he begins it by saying that the reason they would do this more simple davening is because they don't find themselves able to be mechaven. And then he ends off with that sometimes this is the type of tikkun that's necessary. You know, in a certain sense, you might be able to say there's almost a contradiction there. You know, is it totally in the fact that this is what's necessary, or is it totally in the fact that you just can't do more? But it's probably not a contradiction. It's probably just that, you know, when the tzaddik is in that state, this is the tikkun that's necessary. The tikkun that's necessary is the one of the vadoyos. You know, I would venture to say maybe lule de mistapina. I'm not so sure if this is the right thing to say or right, whatever. I'm just lule de mistapina. I would say maybe that some HaKadosh Baruch Hu may bring a tzaddik tirdus and the lack of yishuv hadas in order to push him into the position to do this type of simple davening, because that's what Hashem wants him to do. That could be. It could be a mahalach also. Was that clear? Did you get that idea, what I said? If somebody wants me to repeat it or explain it, I'll try that. We're good? Okay, I got some thumb up there. And some, faces. So, this is Rabbi Yaakov Meirsch over here. And I mentioned last week, and afterwards there was a question after the shiur. We had like a little bit of an extension to the shiur afterwards of a few minutes. And I mentioned that I mentioned actually at the end of the shiur the Baal Shem Tov, but I wanted to read it inside because it's a very powerful Baal Shem Tov from Tzavos HaRivosh. And it also relates to these two styles of davening. Okay, and it's clear from the Baal Shem Tov that, you know, he saw the, I would say, the simple style davening. He saw it as actually a higher level of davening. And let's learn the piece, and then we'll speak this. We'll get into this a little bit more. Hamechaven betfilato. This is in Tzavos HaRivosh, in the edition that I have, at least it's in Simen Kuf Yud Ches. This is the Kahat edition of Tzavos HaRivosh. So he says like this: Hamechaven betfilato bekol hakavanot hayiduot lo. If somebody has kavana in his tefillah, to all the kavanas that are known to him, all the ideas, the understandings, the meditations that are known to him. So he's only thinking about, right? He's only being mechaven on the kavanas that are known to him. But when he says the word with a tremendous hiskashrus, right, with a tremendous bond, that means he's with his heart. Nichlal b'chol ha-teva kol ha-kavonot mi'atzman u'me'aleihem. Then included in the whole word are all the kavanas automatically. If you say the word in davening with a very fervent heart, where you are devoted and dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're saying it with a dveikus b'Hashem, that word, then all the kavanas that there are take place and happen, are effectuated automatically, without you having kavan on them. Shekol ot ve'otu olam shalem, because every word is every letter is an entire world. Uchshiyomar ativa b'itkashrut gadol, and when you say the word with a tremendous itkashrut, with a tremendous bond, bevadai me'orer otano olamot elyonim, then you are certainly stirring those higher worlds, and you are doing tremendous actions in this way. Lachen, therefore, yireh adam litpalel bitkashrut bitlavut gdola, a person should see to it that he davens with a tremendous itkashrut, with a tremendous excitement, itlavut, ubevadai yaaseh pulot gdolot b'olamot elyonim, and then he'll for sure be doing tremendous actions in the higher worlds, ki kol ot me'orer lemala, because every letter is stirring up above. So I mentioned this famous story that they tell with the Baal Shem Tov. I don't remember it so good. I'm not the greatest storyteller, but the Baal Tikeah of the Baal Shem Tov prepared all the kavanas. He worked in it for a long time, and he wrote them down on a sheet of paper that he would be able to remember what to be mechaven. The kavanas of Shofar are very, very intricate, very, very difficult, and they change from set to set. So you have to keep track of everything. It's not an easy thing, and he prepared it all, and he came in to Kiyah Shofar, and he couldn't find the paper. He's working on this for months, maybe years. I don't know. He's working for months, and he comes to do it, and it's gone. And he was very, very upset, very, very disturbed, whatever. And then, but the less Brera, he had no choice. He just decided to blow shofar with all his heart. He turned to Hashem just like that. My heart should be instead of the kavanas. I'm blowing with a full. I want to do whatever. And the Baal Shem Tov said to him afterwards. He didn't tell the Baal Shem Tov that he had prepared the kavanas and everything. The Baal Shem Tov knew with his Ruach HaKodesh, and he said to him, "Oh, it was a good kia shofar. You had your heart. It was good that you didn't bring the kavanas." That's part of the same yesod that's being presented over here in the Tzavos HaRivosh. So, again, that doesn't necessarily mean that the Baal Shem Tov himself, I don't know how the Baal Shem Tov davened, but I imagine that certainly the Arizal davened with the Hislavas Gedoyla, with a tremendous excitement and dedication of heart. And together with that, he was Mechamin Nikavanas. That's the best, right? The best is if you can do the both together. Rabbi Yaakov Moshe is specifically talking about the davening with simple level, meaning the kavanas hapshutas, and obviously he'll be in agreement with the Baal Shem Tov, because he said shavadauyot hazot hayotzet min alev, that certainty that's coming out of the heart. So he's also talking about davening the words of the tefillah with that certainty, but it's coming from the heart. The certainty is coming from the heart because you're so connected to those words, so connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through those words. So again, basically to recap, you have Rabbi Yaakov Moshe that says there are two styles of davening, and sometimes a tzaddik can do one, and sometimes he'll need to do another. And by the way, this is also an important insight. A lot of times people kind of feel, you know, you set yourself in avodah, and it's and you just like go with it, and you have to sometimes check yourself if it's correct just to go with the avodah at all times. This is a very tricky situation. We'll end off with this point maybe, that, you know, on the one hand, a person has to take himself an avodah, set an avodah, and go with it. And the ikviyut, how do you say ikviyut in English? I lost the word over here. The
consistency.
What's that?
Consistency.
Oh, very good. Okay, the consistency of the avodah is very, very important for keeping that avodah, that it should always last, right? For example, you know, just because you're in meichin de katnus, you're not on your high, doesn't mean you should be taking away from what you set yourself when you are on your high. Actually, that's the way that you really reach big heights in Torah, is when you're learning, even when you're not in the mood to learn. That's actually the key, is during the low times. But there are times where a person has an avodah, or a way of doing an avodah, whatever it is, where he gets a big, you know, I'll give an example, yeah? I mean, Hasidim won't like my example, but nevertheless, going to the mikvah, right? So I always say, my personal belief is, a mikvah is not a chiyuv, right? Maybe, except for tefillas keri, some shittas, whatever it is, might hold, and it's certainly something that's, it's kedai to do, to be makbid on tefillas keri. But let's say not tefillas keri. Let's just say people that go, right, many chassidim have a minhag to go to the mikveh every single day. I believe that if something like that, which is not an obligation, if you're doing it every single day and it just becomes part of habit, I personally believe that it's there's no point, because you've lost it. You know, it's like it's not doing its thing. It's not just like, you know, obviously the mold that there's a Tosefes Kedusha and whatever it is, but I don't know how simple it is to say such a thing. You know, there are times, I'm just sharing my personal avoida, we'll call it. I'm not going to say this is the right or wrong. My personal avoida is that because I want to get out of the mikvah a certain experience of attachment to Hashem, I don't want it to go dry. That's an interesting paradox, right? Get mikvah going dry. But I want to keep the energy going. I want that when I go to that, it's going to give me a chizik in an avodas Hashem. But if I'm going to go every day, I know that it's not going to give me that anymore, because there are times where it's just going to wear off, you know, the luster wears off. So the same thing is, you know, similar to Rabbi Yaakov Moshe in a different way. These tzaddikim, they're on the level where they could do tremendous tikkunim. But they're not holding there now. They don't have the yeshiva das. So should they just force themselves because it's a big mitzvah? The Arizal says it's mamash achiyuv to, once a person learns kavanas, the Chaim Vital writes very strongly, like, you have to be mechaven. But the fact is there were tzaddikim that just didn't. There were times, you know, they didn't continue. It went in times, sometimes yes, sometimes no. I think that that's very important, is they were tuned into what they can properly do. If something's not a chiyuv, so when you're on a high, when you're in that matziv to do it, do it. But if you're going to do it even when your heart's not there, it's liable to lose the energy and the luster even in the good times. And I think that you have to be careful from that. You know, I would say something, a person that davens at the kaisel every day. If davening at the kaisel every day excites him every day, great. But if chas v'shalom, he loses the appreciation that he's standing in the makam hamikdash, I don't necessarily know that that's the best thing. Like, we should try to keep our special ways of attaching to Hashem, we should try to keep them special, and that way we'll always have, you know, things that we can thrive from. You know, we need an extra boost. So that's my personal opinion, how to maybe, you know, a certain lesson to take out of this Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, of the fact that tzaddikim sometimes go in and out of these avodas. Another thing I do want to point out, is based on the Baal Shem Tov, is, and Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, is that us simple people that know our we read these things about tzaddikim, we know where we are, like, yeah, tikkunim and shemus and bringing things up to the kedusha, like, we're like, okay, this is so beyond, like, what in the world does that have to do with me? And the Baal Shem Tov is really the answer to that, and even Rabbi Yaakov Moshe is the answer to that over here with the style of davening, which is the pashtus. You know, if you take Rabbi Elazar ben Derdoya, which is our example of a Baal Tshuva, right? So the Gemara describes him. He went to a zayna. He went to do the worst taveira with a zayna, like mamish, the lowest of low. And because of the maisa that takes place over there, he does tshuva, and he becomes so worked up in his tshuva that he actually drops dead in his tshuva, right? Because of his charata, because of his regret, his remorse over what he's come to, what he's done. And in a shemayim, a baskol goes out, you know, I think it's baskol, right? Was it a baskol or was it? It says, they call him Rebbe. They call him Rebbe Elazar ben Derdoya. Like, they refer to him as a Rebbe. They refer to him as a Rav. Why? Or was it another Moira? Because he taught me tshuva. He teaches us tshuva. So, I think that from there we can learn that even as simple as we are, if our heart becomes involved in the davening, even on a simple level, if you apply your heart, you apply that as bainus, you apply it, and also in chesed, in Torah, in anything, if we just do on our own simple level, but it's with the heart, Rahman Aliba Boy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the heart, we could be pile all the most magnificent tikkunim that we have no idea what they are, just from the lave. When we're doing something with our lave, that is the most powerful avoda possible. And that's for us simple people, no matter how simple, no matter how low we might feel that we are, or maybe that we are. And that's something very big. You know, the Arizal says in Shara Gilgulim, he told Reb Chaim Vital, that the later generations, something very small that you do is stronger than a big act by the big people years back. Because it becomes so hard to do Torah mitzvahs in the later generations, so everything has so much more koach to it. The small things that we do, this is, Arizal told us already, Reb Chaim Vital. So certainly in us, in our Dora, where there's so much garbage, so much stuff that's taken away, so much difficulty, so much taking everybody away from dedication to Hashem, any single thing we do, it could be a small thing, it could be a bigger thing, don't be mazals on it, take it, do it with the heart, and a little bit you could pat yourself on the back because we are low and we need that pat maybe, but at the same time, that's the ikar, is to try to get our hearts involved in Avodas Hashem. That would be a great thing if we can take that into the year. We'll be Bez Hashem Zeicha to a very big Shana Teva for us and all of Klal Yisrael. Okay, Shavua Tov. Does anybody have questions? Okay, great. Shkoyach. Very good. All right, Shavua Tov. We'll see you next week, Be'ez Hashem. Okay. Kal Tov. Shalom, shalom.